we thank you for those words of Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight, the teaching will be on standing alone, and you know, what comes with that is endurance, running the race. So all of us, something called a peer pressure, and people, if you look it up, it's they're talking about adolescence, you know, peer pressure. And what I'm talking about is all of your lifetime peer pressure, and that's what standing alone is all about. When you're looking at Adam and Eve, was there spouse pressure on Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it comes down to, because, you know, Eve was, it says in 2 Corinthians 11, Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Yeah, so why did he do that? Why did he do that? Well, he chose not to stand alone. Because his wife, he wanted to please his wife, and so this is what we're going to look at is, man, you've got to change those, you know, this is very paramount as a, you know, working of our adversary on our human nature who don't want to stand alone. None of us want to stand alone. And so he knows that, and so by getting the pressure, give me an example of another prophet who got peer pressure.
Jeremiah?
Not Jeremiah, but Aharon.
You mean Cain? Or they? Okay.
Pardon me? Yeah, peer pressure. Some, yeah, not standing Cain, alone. Yeah, okay. Yeah, some, yeah, so, yeah. Jeremiah stood alone, obviously. Yeah, I maybe I missaid that. So the person who took, who is hit by peer pressure is Aharon. To the people say, make us a god, and he just says, makes him a god. So, that same pressure is always going to be on us. And Christ warns us about this. Did he stand alone? Yeah, he did. So Christ stood alone. So Hebrews 12:1-3. Kind of what they call the great cloud of witnesses. And this ministry that we're part of is telulos ministry. It's for the mature. There's going to be very few people, sad to say, who are telulos, who are mature. Most people end up caving for peace. And so peace is very important. Acceptance is very important. And so people just kind of, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to go against what the norm dictates. I'm not going to necessarily agree with them, but I'm not going to confront them and disagree with them because I want the friends, I want the fellowship, I want this. And so a generation goes by not believing something, but not speaking against it. And that's where they're complicit then. And Christ sees that weak. 12:1-3. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witnesses, which we're going to see, that's chapter 11, stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, with endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith, priestly leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him, this is very important, that's where our focus got to be. If I'm going to stand alone, I'm going to endure hardship, I'm going to be rejected by people. And why? There it is. In consideration of the joy lying before him, because Christ will say, if you stand alone, I'm going to seat you on a throne. Wow. All right. Enduring the cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh had taken his seat. He's still alone. Look at this. Wow. Look at that. And we know the people who are staying alone, that's Hebrews 11. It's Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, Sarai, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. So it misses all of them. And these people still alone. And they're in the book of the Hall of Fame when it comes down to it. we go to, Paul also stood alone. And you can see, one thing about learning about scriptures, we got to say, why weren't the apostles written in here? Because this is to the Hebrews. And so they never mention Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles in here. Okay, well, why? That's, by leaving it out, it tells us something. This is the Old Covenant. It's talking about the Old Covenant. But 2 Timothy 4, we're talking about Paul. And 2 Timothy is to Timothy. And Paul, who is Saul, is ending his ministry. Now, here's the counsel Yahweh has given Timothy and to us. 4, verse 16 through 18. In my first defense, no man came in to help me. God, isn't that something? Wow. But all what? All what? Let's go, crowd. Forsook me. Come on. You've got to
I was taking
I know. Notes. What's wrong with you? I can understand you. I can understand you. That's for y'all here, but this person over here, I don't know. All forsook me, unto them may it not be reckoned. But the Lord stood by me, empowered me, in order that through me the proclamation might be fully made, and all the nations might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will rescue me from every wicked work, and will bring me safe into the heavenly kingdom, unto whom be the glory unto the age of ages. Beside the point, when people have all the apostles being crucified and all these horrible deaths, there's no record. There's no, Yahweh doesn't do that. Yeah, that, these are all made up. People boiled and turned upside down and crucified. All traditions of men, all mockery. He just says right here, the Lord will protect me. Right? Well, Paul was lied to. Because he was, whatever it came down to, he said, it's not in the scripture, just throw it aside. It's that simple. And there's no glory in being crucified and all of this. You know, Abraham died nicely. Moses died nicely. Aaron died nicely. So you're looking at all the heroes of the Old Covenant. They aren't tortured to death. There's no glamour. I don't know why the church thinks these people have come up and take that and repeat this doctrine about these apostles like that's some good thing.
Fallacious.
Yeah, that's just wicked, wicked. And pastors will do that. Now we're talking about lordship. Okay, so our situation is lordship. What is lordship? Mastership. So what are we called to do is to become a servant. And that's Matthew 10. Oh, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:15 before we go there. This is also, we know, just looking at a video, we got to go to Ephesus, which is in Turkey. 2 Timothy 1:15. But, you got to realize Ephesus is Asia Minor. It's in Turkey. In 1:15, Paul standing alone. Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia, that's Ephesus, have turned away from me. Wow. Now, I'll tell you what, if he would have compromised with them, would they have turned away?
No.
That he would not compromise with them. He would not give them what they were looking. So somebody else came along and gave them what they wanted, and so they put him in charge and discarded Paul. Same thing to us, same tactics. And this teaching is based upon an article E.W. Bullinger did in Britain. Let's see here. On standing alone with Yahweh, with the Lord. One of these things he says, we are commissioned to preach the word, whether men will hear it or whether they will forbear, whether they will endure or whether they will be not. And that's Ezekiel 2, 5, 7, and 2 Timothy 4, 3. If men will not endure or hear, We are not to seek for something else which will endure, but simply to preach the word. I preach the word. They don't want the word.
That's
what do they want? Well, they don't want Yahweh. What do you want? Just say God. Okay, let's just do that. We'll just say God. And the crowds are very happy. And that's why it's not in their Bibles. They don't want it in their Bibles. They don't want Jehovah in their Bibles. Looking at from this point of view, Noah's faith exhibits the greatest example of witness for Yahweh that the world's ever seen. He preached the gospel for I don't know how many years, building the ark,
or
his whole lifetime. He was 600 years old when he started building the ark. And so he was living in righteousness alone with his 8 and 7 members of the family for that long. And so that was his witness, standing alone. And to all the world, they think, we have it wicked around us many times. Think of that.
Yeah.
People today look for results. And unless we are able to show some or to make up some report, our work is considered on all hands as a failure. Well, who's in your church? How many people do you have? Well, that's going to tell you whether you're succeeding or you're failing. But we have nothing whatever to do with results. What we have to do with is our faithfulness. Results are in the hands of the Lord, but for our faithfulness, we are alone responsible. We are not here to get results. We are here to preach the word. We are not here where the word is not being received to adjust the word to be received. No, we're supposed to preach the word. Now we go to Matthew 10, 5 through 7. And why this is coming up, you know, we go to Christian organizations. Doesn't mean you're outside of the framework. We go to Christian organizations and try to help wherever we can. But every one of them know where we stand. We have given them the information. There's no Trinity. People who are dead are not in heaven. And so, and they still let us come to the meetings. But they know fully on that. And why this kind of is resonating, because there's a meeting up tomorrow. And here's two church leaders who are very successful coming to speak to the group. And I look at their statement of beliefs, and you can see why they are successful. Because their statement of beliefs is giving the people what they want. And so in this particular time, you know, you cannot be successful in today's quote-unquote Christian church unless you have the Trinity embedded in your doctrines. You have to have three gods embedded in your doctrine, or you cannot be, you're going to be standing alone, is what it comes down to. And these people have chosen, and I've, on one of them at least, I have given them the information. You know, so he knows full well, it has a Rotherham Bible too, you can, you know, that he has decided to not stand alone and to please the crowd and have a great church, which means he's getting his reward in this life. He's getting it. And so when he meets Christ, you know, it just comes down to that. You knew better, and you can do it. Like any parent, you tell a child to do something, and they did part of it, but not the majority of it. And when I did it, look what I did. No, because I told you to do this, and down. You know, because you know better. That's it. You're not deceived. You knew better. But Matthew 10, verse 5 through 7, you start seeing this, and this is the 12 going out. Then these 12, Yahushua was sent for, charging them, saying, into any way to the nations do not depart, and into the city of Samaria's do not enter, but be going rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see? And as you go, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. That's another unrelated topic, but whenever you read the book of Matthew, it's never the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of heaven. But obviously we know that is, there is no entity known heaven, and so that's obviously the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is not a place. This is another thing, too. The word kingdom is the dominion of the king. It's a dominion, not a place. And so the kingdom of Yahweh, or the reign of Yahweh, when he says the reign of Yahweh is here, the kingdom of Yahweh is here, that does not mean a place. It means my representative Yahushua is here, and he's representing the dominion of Yahweh.
That's Dom.
Yeah, I mean, Dom. Yeah, King Dom, the dominion of the king. Today, if you look at the word kingdom, it means place. That's not what the word means, and that's just the devolution of the English language. Unrelated. Verse 24 and 25.
Wait a minute.
Same chapter. These are freebies. And a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his Lord. Very important. What are we? We are servants and disciples. Sufficient for his disciple that he become as his teacher. Okay, what was our, did our teacher stand alone? Yeah, he did. Was he, you know, was he ridiculed? Was he called names? Everything else? He said, you're a Beelzebub. Yes, we're going to see this. And the servant as his Lord. Just think about it. If Yahushua did not have miracles following him, how many people would he have taken from the Jewish faith? Probably very, very little. And people would say, you're a failure. If the master of the house, Beelzebub, they called him Beelzebub, how much more the men of his house? That's interesting.
I understand that.
Yeah. Now think of that. Here is, you can tell a lot about organizations by their statement of belief. So every organization get their statement of beliefs, and if they don't have one, that tells you everything. But here's the Jehovah Witnesses, which are, according to the Christian church, of the devil. And their statement of belief is, we worship the one true and almighty God, the Creator, whose name is Jehovah. And that's blasphemy to the Christian church. Because it's not. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a true statement. Does the church do that? No, the Christian church today did not do that. And they're going to call them heretics. What the church does today, this is from Reliance Church, one of the people here. Now, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. And here, we believe that Jesus is God in human form. Any scripture?
No.
That he bears both human and divine natures and is fully God and fully man. Now this is, in our society, this is
ortho.
True. Why the Jehovah Witness, we worship the one true and almighty God, the Creator's name is Jehovah. His name is not Jehovah, it's Yahweh, but that's blasphemy to the today's church. Do Jehovah Witnesses stand alone?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Are they ridiculed? Yes, they do. Are they using an example as heretics? Yes, they do. Was Christ called Beelzebub? Yes, he was. If I'm not being called a heretic, I'm out. I'm not following the boss. You know, if I'm not, so we better be expecting to be called a heretic, then I'm not doing something right, what it comes down to. 24 and 25, I said that. Now we go to 32 to 40. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I also will confess him before my Father who is in the heavens. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in the heavens. Real simple. Yeah, this is just laying it out. Do not think that I came to thrust peace upon the earth. I came not to thrust peace, but a sword. For I came to set at variance a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a bride against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes are they of his own house. This is it. No, listen to this. He that loveth father or mother above me is not worthy of me, And he that loveth son or daughter above me is not worth. When a person says family is everything, no. Family is not everything. Yahweh and Yahushua are everything. Right? If my family, what they call family, is taking people away from what Yahweh says, you know what I do? The family are gone. I choose my Lord, my Master. I'm the servant of Him. And so I'm going to give up that family. Whatever it comes down to, what she says, is not worthy of me. And he that does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now we go to Luke 14.
I'm sorry, what?
Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. And above it, Rotherham is the cost of discipleship. And there was journeying together with him many multitudes, and turning he said unto them, if anyone cometh unto me and hateth not, what's it? You're not going to see this in anybody's statement of beliefs in the church. And hateth not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, further also his own life or soul, he cannot be my disciple. So what is that saying? Boy, what is
hate
that? Because it, when it comes to fidelity to my master, whatever he says goes. And if you are contradicting my master and won't come into line, you've got to go. You've got to go. And that's everybody, except for the individual. Husband, wife, children, everything else is no. Fidelity. 27, whosoever beareth not his own cross but cometh after me cannot be my disciple. And so you're like, it just says it right here. We're going to find that out when we meet Christ. So when we're making decisions, and, you know, the peer pressure comes on us and say, God, you're not very popular. You know, what you say is people are calling it heresy. Yeah, that's right. I think that's up to my boss. They call him a heretic. Heresy. Yeah, they did. They called him Beelzebub. I haven't been called a devil yet. But, you know, so I might not be living up to the expectation that I could be. But once I get a call a devil instead of, oh, you're like, thank you. That's a compliment. And, you know, it's like the same way in the United States, if the left, who, you know, the Democrat Party, which is their organized crime, they're evil, if they don't hate you, then you got a problem. Because they hate people standing for Yahweh and for righteousness, and these are criminals. If they embrace you, and that's Hollywood, if they embrace Hollywood, Hollywood's evil. You know, and so you know who your friends are. We'll go to Galatians 1:6, or chapter 1. And so we got to realize when people are making these outlandish statements in these churches, you know, we got to realize, Paul tells us, you know, to Paul who stood alone, and the Galatian church was part of Asia, who turned away from the Apostle Paul also. And in Paul's time, here's what's happening to his body of people that he taught. Galatians 1:6-9. I marvel that thou as quickly you are moving away from him that called you in the favor of Christ. Well, that's not going to win a lot of friends. All right? You're telling the church, man, you guys stink. You're already moving away unto a different glad message, which is not another. Only there are some that are troubling you and wishing to change the glad message of the Christ. But even if we or a messenger out of heaven announce a glad message aside from which we announced unto you, what?
Accursed
let him be. So these people who say the Trinity are, you know, fully of the God, they're accursed. Mm-hmm. The majority of Christian faith are accursed. the Jehovah's Witness, in his statement, they've got wrong things here and there, but are blessed because they're saying there's one God. Well, the church says, no, there's one God, three persons and one God. You know, whatever this nonsense is. They're cursed. That's what it says right here. 9, as we have said before, even now again, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message aside from that which you accepted, a curse let him be. I mean, is there anything? He's saying this to the church. Well, that's not good. It says over here, let me see here. We have to write it down. But he says, have I become their enemy because I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
And you go into 3, 1.
Wait.
Galatians 3, verse 1. This is the same church he's speaking to. You know, if these people in their congregations spoke like this, what would happen? People, they would change churches.
Mm-hmm.
That was all they were doing, because you can't speak to me that way. O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Golly, that's not going to go too good. If they told the church, who has bewitched you? There's no Trinity. There's no, you know, there's no, you know, and you just go on and on. You know, there is no Mary, the mother of God. There is no, Mary's not, you know, not a mediator where you pray to Mary. So you're going to get, you know, that would go over the Catholic Church like a lead balloon, a lead Zeppelin. 3:1. Now we go, let's look at he who overcomes, which is us, and what we're doing is appealing to people to push against the pressure, the peer pressure, where you're ousted. And that's part of this life. We're already told it. And we go to Revelations chapter 2, verse 7. But we're going to see the rewards. Now, the book of Revelation is after we've already gone, but the concepts are still true of holding firm, holding on, because there's an incredible amount of pressure to submit.
Did you say verse 11?
Chapter 2, verse 7.
Oh,
7. Now, watch these over and over. These are great. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assemblies. Unto him that what?
Overcometh.
Overcometh. We're going to see this. Overcometh, overcometh, overcometh. I will give unto him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of Yahweh.
Wow.
Next one. Verse 12. No, wait a minute here. No, 11. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assemblies. He that overcometh shall no wise be injured by the reason of the second death. Okay, there's two. Let's go to verse 17. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assemblies. Unto him that overcometh, I will give unto him of the hidden manna. I will give unto him a white stone, and unto the stone a new name written, which no one knows save he that receiveth it. Wow, these are great things. Now, we're going to look at these auras switching now. Remember, these other ones, the first three said, he that hath ear, let him hear. Now, it's not going to be at the beginning of the topic. It's going to be at the end. You'll see. In verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth throughout my works, I will give unto him authority over the what? Nations. And he shall shepherd them with the scepter of
iron.
Of iron, as vessels of earthenware are dashed in pieces. You know, on the new earth, and so we were looking at Revelations 20, Christ is going to have a kingdom for 1,000 years. You know, we think 100 years is a long time. 1,000 years, and there's going to be natural man on that earth. And so are they going to need a rod of iron?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a staff of iron to crack some heads when they're out of line. As dice them in pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give unto them the morning star. Wow, if you overcome. Conditions, overcoming. Ye that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assembly. See, now it's on the bottom of the overcoming. It just changed. And now we're at, let's see here, 3, verse 5. He that overcometh shall thus array himself in, look at this, white garb. The condition is, what do I got to do? I got to overcome. I got to overcome. I got to beat the peer pressure. I cannot bow to the doctrines of men for my own gratification, for my own loneliness, because obviously we get lonely. White garments, and in no wise will I blot out his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father. Look at that. This is Aharon, my faithful servant. This is Vero, my faithful servant. Look what they went through. Look what they went through. Look what they endured. They stood alone. And now, Father, I want you to meet them.
Amen.
All right? Now, the person at the church, wait a minute, I had 10,000 members. I had 1 million members. Yeah, you bent the knee. Mm-hmm. False doctrines. Now, you help the poor, they're like, that's good, they'll be noticed. But very important, three gods doesn't make it, guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the contrary, that's an abomination. And I'll go over that to you. Look how severe this is. Now, 3, let's see here, verse 12. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my Elohim. And outside he is no wise go forth any more, and I will write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the new Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assemblies. Wow. See how it's reversed? One more, 21. He that overcometh, I will give unto him to take his seat with me in my throne. Look at that. In my throne, as I also overcame. Ah, yeah, Christ overcame. And took my seat with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto me. So, if we go to Matthew 11, back to Matthew 11, verse 16, we thought if Yahushua, he's here, he's present in us. We thought, well, if he came, everybody would believe. You know, no matter what, those signs, everybody, the whole world would return once they saw the miracles and everything they did. Nope. Let's just look at history. 16. But unto what shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplace who call unto the others, saying, we played the flute to you, and you danced not, and we sang a lament, and you beat not the breast. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, what?
A demon.
Now, who was saying this? The
Romans?
Yeah, it was the church.
Yeah.
It was the church who was saying this thing. It wasn't the unbelievers. Pilate, people like, yeah, just pay your taxes. I don't care what you do. Just pay your taxes.
Right.
Do your service, pay your taxes. John's a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, lo, a gluttonous man and a wine drinker. Have you been called a gluttonous man and a wine drinker? Well, then, okay, maybe we need to do a little bit more. A friend of tax collectors and sinners, and yet wisdom hath been justified by her works. Then he began to upbraid the cities, now watch this, in which he had done his noblest, mighty works. Look at this. Worked in Capernaum. That's where his home is, in Capernaum, not Nazareth. He's born in Nazareth. He's in Capernaum. Mighty works because they repented not. They saw the works and repented not. Just like today's church. And these are Hebrews. They're not Gentiles. I mean, they're the nations. Because he only went to the Hebrews. This is who you're there to save, Israel. So it's, alas for thee, Chlorazine, alas to thee, Bethsaida, because if in Tyre and Sidon had been done the works of power which was done in you of old in sackcloth and ashes, had they repented. Moreover, I say unto you, for Tyre and Sidon, more tolerable will it be in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, that's his hometown, unto heaven shall thou be uplifted, unto Sheol shall thou be brought down. Because if in Sodom had been done the works of power, look at this, look what they witness, which were done in thee, it would in that case have remained until this day. Moreover, I say unto you, for the land of Sodom, more tolerable will it be in the day of judgment than for thee. Wow. So let's not deceive ourselves to say, well, if this happened or this happened, things would change. They would still call them, they'll call us the same kind of situation, because that's part of the whole spiritual wickedness that works. So we're told to, let's go back to 2 Timothy 4. And what are we supposed to do? It's like Rotherham said, not Rotherham, Bullinger. Says, he was rejected by cities where most of his mighty works had been done. And then we read, at that time, Jesus prayed and said, I thank thee, O Father, even so, for it seemed good in thy sight. When a meeting has been arranged and only a few persons are present, we regard that as a failure. But there must be one whose heart Yahweh has prepared. How many servants today are ready for service after this sort, or to preach in any except a large audience? So those are the things.
So we
want to be at the end where it says, well done, good and faithful servant, not good and successful.
Wow.
So good and faithful servant is what we're looking for. Not good and successful. Many times I have to be successful, I'm going to have to compromise. I'm going to have to bend to pressures, to peer pressures in order to do that. And I can say that with family members too. You know, my family is everything. And so it comes to the point, Yahweh says, get rid of them. You know, that's 1 Corinthians 5. And it says, if a brother is a fornicator, adulterer, a drunkard, not even to eat with such a person. How many people have compromised that and said, no, my son is a fornicator, but he'll always be welcome to my house? What have you done? Have you chosen Christ? No, you put family in front of Christ. And he says, you're not worthy of me. Because he says, you know, father, mother, brothers, sisters, children cannot be replacing me. He wants absolute fidelity. And that's where, you know, so when we get to meet Christ, here, Aharon, you know, gave his son up because his son would not follow Christ. And good done, good, well done, a faithful servant. You know, and we go on and on and on. So these things, instead of being blighted, all of a sudden they're actually assets, very, very valuable assets. Because why? Very few people are going to do it. And we go to 2 Timothy 4, 1. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ, the Mashiach Yahushua, who is about to be judging the living and dead, both as to be for shining and his kingdom. What? Proclaim
the word.
What man want to hear?
No.
No. Proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage. Well, that's not, people don't like to be rebuked.
They do like to be encouraged.
Yeah, they like to be encouraged. Convince, I don't know. Never together than there. With all long-suffering and teaching, for there will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own, what? Covetings. Will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn them aside. But thou, Timothy, be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of the evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled. Actually, in most of these multi-million-dollar Christian organizations, all right, they've got their millions because they did do this. They did not rebuke and convince. Actually, what they did is gave the crowd, just like Aharon did, gave the crowd what they wanted, and the crowd gave money and money, and everybody comes to their churches. And so you're looking at this, and so actually the big crowds may mean that you're not speaking the word.
Compromise.
Is what it comes down to, because many times the word is going to, you know, you're going to speak up against homosexuality, sodomites,
Democrats.
Not speak against the Democrat Party. You know, no Democrat can be in this church unless you repent. And what? How would that go over? That might be half your church or three quarters of your church. It's just left. Well, that's not good, because the people behind you want those funds to come in. So this has turned out to be a business operation, and you're multimillionaires is what it comes down to be. Let's go to Psalms 34 and show you how crucial this is. It really hit me.
You know, you said,
what we've done is, what have they done, our adversaries done with man, is you have erased the Creator.
Psalms.
And you made Yahushua, His Son, the Creator. And you're saying, I'm worshiping Jesus. Now look at this psalm. You can't read this psalm because it's going to contradict everything that you teach. Psalm 34. And think how tender this is to Yahweh. And Yahweh doesn't hear from anybody's lips because they have changed Yahweh into Señor or Lord. And when they see the word Lord, they're thinking of who? Jesus. Jesus. When they see Lord, they're thinking of Jesus. Jesus. And so what it does is just completely strips Yahweh from His creation.
In this song, really proud of.
Let me bless Yahweh at all times. Continually be His praise in my mouth. In Yahweh boasted my soul. The patient oppressed one shall hear and be glad. Ascribing greatness unto Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, greatness unto Yahweh with me, and let us exalt His name together. I inquired of Yahweh, and He hath answered me, and out of my terrors has He rescued me. And this goes on and on and on about the oppressed one cried, and Yahweh heard, and out of his distress served him. The messenger of Yahweh encamped around them who were with him. Oh, taste and see that good is Yahweh. This is our God. We're here. Our God is not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is Yahweh, is our God. And we bow to Yahweh. And who is the God of Jesus?
Yeah.
Yahweh. And I had to talk to a guy at one of our meetings. And I said, does Jesus have a God? And the people have to think. And then you have to show them, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay, yeah, Jesus has a God. Well, how can He be God if He has a God? Does Yahweh have a God? What? Does Yahweh have a God? Well, you have to say no. Does Jesus have a God? Yes. Any questions? The whole Christian Foundation Church, because the first thing they say in their statement of beliefs is, we believe the Bible is an inspired Word of God. And in the second verse, they completely
Break the first
statement they made, because now we believe in three persons and one God. And we're not going to say Yahweh, because we can't say Yahweh. Because Yahweh's going to break the pyramid. Because we can't give names. We can only give one name, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have to keep God, we have to keep common nouns instead of pronouns. Once we start getting pronouns, proper names, proper nouns, you know, like Yahweh, that's a proper name. Yahushua, that's a proper name. Spirit, there is no proper name. Spirit is a neuter, it means breath. And so what do you call spirit? Breath? God the breath? No, let's just think about that. And it's neuter, and in Greek it's neuter, it's a it, it's not a he. And in Hebrew it's feminine, it's a she. Ruach is she, is feminine. So these are the truths, and I just crumbled. This book just tears apart that, but a pastor is not going to ever do that, because what would he lose? He'll lose his church.
He'll lose his flock.
Yeah, he'll lose his flock. And so, but with us, if we overcome and we are willing to stand alone, it'd be great if people come along. We're not trying to stand alone, but if we stand firm, we're going to be brought up as such a special, like Elijah stood firm. Jeremiah stood alone. You know, you're looking at all the prophets who were standing alone and lonely. I think John's supposed to be put on the Isle of Patmos. Why? Because he would not bend to the doctrines of men. And so you can't be around us. So that's our instigation, is the long haul. The long haul. And at the time, we're in a great situation. We're living in the United States of America, or the world. We have Bibles. We have so much here to be blessed with. But if you got to make a stand. If you're silent on that, then it's like denying the Son. He says, if you will deny me, I will deny you before the Father. You want that? Okay, make a stand. Is he your Lord? Are people your lords? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you obey the people, they are now, you are the servant of the people. So the people are your lords, because that's you, or your children. Your children are your lords, because you're going to obey them instead of Yahushua. And guess what? He's watching, Yahweh's watching, every move we make in that situation. Are they going to compromise or not? You know? Okay. We'll hear from our Heavenly Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14, with prophecy. But Father, we thank you for these words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Be not anxious, but be discerning to know that as you look into my word for answers and for solutions to the problems that you have, they're there. My word is full of promises and solutions to make you, to bring you deliverance into your life, that you may share that deliverance to the people around you. I want you to prosper and be in health. You are my sons and my daughters, in whom I have got great blessings. If you act upon those blessings, but you must meditate upon those and act upon them and walk in righteousness, and you will be rewarded. Absolutely. Amen. See you next week.